We know the world at the moment is in the hands mainly of Gentile powers. The presidents and prime ministers, even dictators, are ruling the nations. There's a time when that will end, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to reign. He's coming for us first, of course. I'd like you now, please, if you will, to turn to the prophet Joel. And we read quite a few verses in chapter 3 of Joel. 17 verses, not the whole chapter. Joel chapter 3 from verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that time, and that phrase, those days at that time, is a very specific time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is just north of Jerusalem. And I will enter into judgment with them there, on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have, haven't they? They have cast lots for my people, having given a boy in exchange for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine they may drink. In other words, no value at all. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon and all the coast of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? Swiftly and speedily I will return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver, my gold, and have carried into your temples my prized possessions. And the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem you sold to the Greeks, that's way back, that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place to which you have sold them, and will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and daughters into the hands of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people afar off, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble, and come all of you nations. Gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Think of Armageddon. Let the nations be wakened, and come upon the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, for the vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision, the day of the Lord. Take note. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion, utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens or strangers shall ever pass through her again. What a wide, sweeping, prophetic statement that really is. Going way back in history, Greeks are mentioned there, coming right through to the future as we know it. Just go on to two places in the New Testament, just one verse each. The first one is in Romans chapter 11, and at the same time, would you find Luke 24? Romans chapter 11. Some people confuse two verses. Romans 11, verse 25. This relates mainly to Israel, of course. Romans 11, verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening, or the word is blindness, in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. Put something in that for a moment and go back to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 and verse 24. Luke 21 and verse 24. Don't confuse these two verses. Luke 21 verse 24. And they will fall, that's the Jewish people, will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And that is the second coming of Christ. He's coming to rescue Israel. He's coming to dwell and rule in Jerusalem. Now we've got the two thoughts here in Romans 11. The fullness of Gentiles are coming. That means coming to salvation into the church with some Jewish people, of course. That's the fullness of the Gentiles being saved and coming into the church. Now in Luke 21 verse 24, something totally different. That Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles, and that's still true today in some measure, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. In other words, when they end. of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with Romans 11:25. See, Romans 11:25 is a spiritual issue. Luke 21, verse 24 is a political issue relating to the land of Israel and God's dealing with the nations at times of the Gentiles. At the moment, you know very well that the Gentiles govern the earth. The times of the Gentiles began with King Nebuchadnezzar in his first attack on Jerusalem in 606 BC. Gentiles have been ruling around the nations ever since. That is going to come to an end, and Christ will end it. At the moment, Israel is called the tailed nation. In Deuteronomy 28:13, where it says Israel will become the head nation when Christ comes again. He will send them out to serve him in the world during the millennium. So things are going to change from Gentile domination to Christ's domination at his second coming. Israel will then be the head nation when Christ is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, fulfilling the Davidic covenant, sitting on David's throne. Now let's go back to familiar words in Daniel chapter 2. Now, I know you're well aware of these prophetic utterances here in chapter 2. Of course, this is Nebuchadnezzar's dream vision, isn't it, of this huge man, starting with the head of gold and going right down to the very toes. I'm not going to go into all the details of that, because you know them very well. But I would like you, please, if you will, to look at two sets of two verses. First of all, Daniel explains this vision, and then he gives the interpretation. So let's look in Daniel 2, to verses 34 and 35. Daniel 2, 34 and 35. This is Daniel's explanation to the king of what he saw and forgot, so-called. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The word mountain in the Bible prophecy is a kingdom. He's coming to establish his kingly rule, the millennial kingdom, messianic kingdom, when he comes, his feet touch down on the Mount of Olives. It's not the coming for the church. That stone, prophetically speaking, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins right back in Genesis 49, the prophetic statements by Jacob. And it goes right through Psalm 118, we won't turn to them, right through into the Gospels and Jesus' explanation in parable form, and ends with Peter saying that you and I are living stones, built into a holy house and a building to become a bride. But go on now to the interpretation in verses 44 and 45, same chapter, Daniel. Verse 44, here's his explanation to the king. And in the days of these kings, notice that, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. You see, with the previous empires, one succeeded another, overran Babylon, under Alexander overcame the Persians, and then you had the Romans. But he said, there's a coming kingdom where no other human is going to take rule. No other people are going to reign him. No other empires. For if you like, these are four empires, Babylon, Persia, Greece and Rome, that had dealings with the Jewish people. There have been many empires. But these are empires that had dealings with the people of Israel. Empire briefly had something to do with it, I dare say. They were four kingdoms that had dealings with Israel. The fifth kingdom is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will go through the millennium and continue forever. Verse 45 says, as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and broken pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. After what? For the days of the kings. Yeah, interesting. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. We know that the Roman Empire, way back until it was destroyed in 476, the Roman Empire only had one Caesar at the time. One succeeded another. But here we have 10 kings. That surprised Daniel, because it goes way beyond the Roman Empire, our future too, thousands of years on, to the time when the nations of this earth are going to be divided into 10 regions. And I've seen a chart of that. It was done in the 1970s by the Treaty of Rome. The nations of this earth are divided into 10 sections already, ready to be exercised and brought into being. It's quite true. And they'll be headed up by 10 rulers. We see that in Revelation 17 later. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he's coming to smash them as a stone. And Daniel is interpreted to Nebuchadnezzar, crush them to powder and blow them away. And Gentile power will be no more. Second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now it's interesting, in these time gaps here, if you look in verses 42 and 43 of Daniel 2, you can see the phrase, and as, the toes of the feet. Now, of course, that follows on from the two legs of iron, which was the Roman Empire, to something entirely new. And these toes, what are they made of? Ceramic clay, verse 43. They were mingled with the seed of men, but they were not adhered to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay, and dictatorship doesn't link with democracy. And in the days of these kings, therefore that is a big time gap. He'd been having the revelation of the fourth kingdom. Look back in verse 40. The fourth kingdom, strong as iron, that's Rome, we know that, crushed, violent. And then he says, you saw the feet and toes, part of Potter's clay and so on. And in the days of those kings, when it happens, it's still future, when the nations are divided into those 10 regions, and we shall see in Revelation 70, those 10 rulers will give their allegiance to the Antichrist for 1 hour, which means a brief time. It all fits in. You can join up the book of Revelation with the prophet Daniel quite easily, can't you? So there's a big historical time gap, which the prophets knew nothing about. And the prophets knew nothing about the church age either. I won't go into that tonight. This big historical gap between, look at verse 40, the fourth kingdom as strong as iron. You've got that. And then 41 and 42, you've got the feet and the toes coming in. But 10 toes, 10 rulers, 10 kings, and they're going to give their allegiance to the Antichrist. We see that in Revelation 17. There's this big time gap also in verse 44. And in the days of these kings, that time is way ahead. Remember, the Roman Empire was only reigned by one Caesar at a time. Here we've got 10. So it's going to be far more than the Roman Empire, isn't it? It's going to involve globalism. Everybody's talking about one global globalism. It's coming. One new world order is coming. It's being set up even now. Partly with the United States of Europe. And we're in a mess too, aren't we? So not far away will be that United States of Europe as the nations join together. But that's only the beginning. It's going to spread to globalism with those 10 nations ruling, submitting their rulership finally to the Antichrist, who will dominate them as well. Now let's just go to Revelation 17. So I'll leave Daniel for the moment. Go to Revelation chapter 17, I think. And you see all these linked up. Good to link up Daniel's Revelation, chapter 17. And go to verse 12. Revelation 17 and verse 12. Here's John given the revelation here by the Lord Jesus of how things will turn out to be. Future, of course. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, think of Daniel 2, who have not received the kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour, brief time, as kings with the beast, the Antichrist, the political ruler. And the 10 horns which you saw are those 10 kings. In verse 13, these are one mind, with uniformity among them. They will give their power and authority to the beast. He's going to have world rule and control for a short time. And they'll attempt to make war with the Lamb, verse 14. That won't work either, will it? They have one mind, one purpose, to give their strength and allegiance to the Antichrist, the first beast, when he comes. Now would you go back to Daniel 7 with me? Now this is a vision that God gave to Daniel. There are similarities, but it's from a divine viewpoint. Daniel 2, the large metallic cum clay image in the dream vision of Nebuchadnezzar, looked at the world of nations and the future empires from man's viewpoint. Here we have in Daniel 7 the divine viewpoint. He looks down upon the scene. So, Daniel chapter 7 with me, please. And look at verse 7. And we read on from verse 7. Daniel 7, verse 7. Here again, we find that Daniel is explaining the vision, dream that the Lord had given to him. And from scene to scene, he looks back in the early verses to the different empires that then did other exist with Babylon and world future to Daniel, of course, come to Iran or Persia, Greece and Rome. And he says, after this, you see, there's a long time gap. After this. After this, I saw in the night visions, there's more than just a short vision shortly after that, but it has that spiritual interpretation. I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, and had large iron teeth, devouring, breaking pieces, trampling the residue with his feet. Now that was Rome, linking with Daniel 2. But it was different from all the beasts that were before it. Why had 10, not the Roman Empire? Well, one which will come, first of all, the United States of Europe, based on all that Rome was, but extending worldwide to the 10 rulers that are going to be ruling different sections of the nations joined together in the earth. It had 10 horns. Now read verse 8. I was considering the horns, a bit bothered, like it was chapter 2. And there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them before whom three of the first horns are plucked up by the roots, when Antichrist destroyed three nations that rebelled against him. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and the mouth speaking pompous words. Well, we know who he is, Satan's man, the Antichrist. But now, this is the heavenly revelation. This is the divine message given to Daniel. I watched, look at all these different scenes. I watched, I saw. I watched the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, his throne like a fiery flame, his wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued forth and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's right, in Revelation, the worshipping believers in heaven. The court was opened, was seated, and the books are open. Now that court is stretching forward to the great white throne. I watched, here is another scene. Because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, blasphemy against God, I watched till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now that is a tremendous prophecy concerning the end of the Antichrist and the false prophet ending up in the lake of fire. You find that in Revelation. Yes. See, linking up the two. As for the rest of the beasts, they had the dominion taken away. Of course, well, when the Lord comes, he'll do that. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching, there is a different scene. In the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man. Here he is. Here's the divine projection down to Daniel. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom the one which will not be destroyed. That's the divine revelation. That's from God's viewpoint. Marvelous, isn't it? I'll go down to verse 24 for a moment. Verse 24. Here's the explanation like Revelation 17. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall rise from this kingdom out of the Roman Empire, out of the revived Roman Empire, out of world empire as it progresses. And another shall rise after them. He should be different from the first one. He shall subdue three kings. That's what the Antichrist does for three nations that oppose him. He shall speak pompous words, verse 25, against the Most High, the Lord. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. That's not the church, that's the Israeli saints and tribulation saints. And shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand. That's the Jewish people, even those who are believers. For a time, times, and half a time. We'll get into the details of that. We can go back to Leviticus, go to Revelation. Time, times, and half a time is a year in Bible prophecy. We'll go into the reason for that. Time, two and a half, three and a half years. That's the final 3.5 years of the 7-year Great Tribulation period, when the second 3.5 are the day of Jacob's trouble, and that's going to be awful. That certainly will be the worst part of the Great Tribulation. Verse 26, I like that. But the court shall be seated. Here it is again. The great size. They shall take away his dominion. Antichrist is going in the lake of fire to consume and destroy forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Israel is going to be the head nation. And his kingdom, Christ's Messiah's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. It goes beyond the millennium into the new earth and new heaven. All dominions shall serve and obey him. That's the end of the account, verse 28. What a staggering revelation. The times after Daniel received these revelations, he fell to them. I'm not surprised. So Christ, the Messiah, Redeemer, King of Israel, is going to come and smash Gentile power He's called the stone. He's going to smash it and reduce it to powder and blow them away. He's called the shepherd of Israel too in Genesis 49, but he's also the stone. He's going to reign for them an end of 1,000 years. Now this dream vision that Nebuchadnezzar had was clearly prophetic, clear as it is, like Daniel 7 was for Daniel. We can call these scenes in Daniel 2 and chapter 7 the panorama of Gentile history, the wide viewing of Gentile history over thousands of years. Since 606 BC, as I said, when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, and from then on there was a domination over Israel, and still is to a large extent. The times of the Gentiles from Nebuchadnezzar, 606 BC, will continue right up to the time of the second coming of Christ. 606 BC until coming for us first. The church is not the fifth kingdom. I said there are four special kingdoms that are dealing with the Jews. Babylon and Rome. The fifth kingdom, the fifth ruler on the earth is Christ. His is the fifth kingdom. There is no kingdom after that. No Gentile rulers after that. And the 10 toes, as we looked at, of that image will be smashed. The stone will bring about the end of Gentile power and it will blow them away. He will set up his own kingdom, Christ's kingdom, on the earth. He will be king of Israel, king and lord over all the nations. But I want you to note that there's something special. I mentioned about these 10 horns, 10 kings, 10 toes. It's only after the emergence of these 10 horns, 10 kings, 10 toes, and the little horn, that any mention of Christ's contrasting kingdom, we found that in Daniel chapter 7. We have the mention of the 10 toes and what's happening. Then it says, Christ will come and smash. It follows on from the 10 toes, from the 10 nations, from globalism until Christ comes. Globalism is Gentile power, ruling the earth. Gentile power, that's coming to an end. Christ will smash it, blow it away, and he will reign and rule. Hallelujah. So the visions of Daniel, chapter 7, are from the divine viewpoint given to Daniel and about the coming of the Lord, given a kingdom. Certainly true. I'd just like to say, and we all agree with this, Gentile kings, rulers, dictators, presidents, whoever they are, can only exercise their power by divine appointment. The Lord sets up kings and he puts them down. He raises them up, he puts them down. You know that. Not much is said of the other four of Babylon. They have all disappeared too. Rome background. The taxation system, the legal system, the financial system of Rome exists in our own European system. They haven't quite gone. But the other empires, they've gone. But Daniel and the chapters we looked at in chapter 17 of Revelation, we find that as we looked at in Luke, that the Gentiles still dominate Jerusalem and Israel for some extent. Israel still looks for international help from time to time. But the time will come when they won't do that anymore because Christ, their king, is coming to reign. They won't look to any other nations for help at all. Gentile power ends. Christ sets up his kingdom and rules in his place. There's a final phase of the times of the Gentiles. I'd like you to go to the book of Revelation again, this time in chapter 11. Daniel, Revelation, important links. Daniel chapter, Revelation chapter 11, please. Revelation 11. And look at verse 2. This is during the first half of the Great Tribulation. It's one of false peace with the Antichrist, the man with the bow on the white horse but no arrows, in Revelation 6. He would dominate for a brief period, 7 years. Then he ends up in the lake of fire. And here, during the time of the two witnesses, chapter 11, when they're witnessing in Jerusalem area, in addition to the 144,000 witnessing around the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which is different from the gospel of grace. And you've got here, in chapter 11 of Revelation, verse 2, the final phase of the times of the Gentiles. Let's look at it. Revelation 11, verse 2. And you see there that there was instruction to measure the temple, the altar, and those who worship there in verse 1. But leave out the court which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. They will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. That wasn't the time when Titus came to destroy Jerusalem in AD 70. He did that very quickly. But here we have this period of time, which is the second half of the tribulation, when the Gentiles, Antichrist, leading the nations to come against Jerusalem and Israel, it's in Zechariah 14. And they will tread down the city for 42 months, 3.5 years, 1260 days, all in Revelation. That's the final 3.5 years of the tribulation. When the nations of the world are under the domination of the Antichrist, he will attempt to destroy Israel, make war against Christ. That's ridiculous. If you look in chapter 19, over there in Revelation, go to chapter 19. Yeah, we know that Armageddon is coming. Even before that, Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, which I will talk about, not tonight. Some of those Gentile powers are coming to an end too, like Russia and Germany and so on. We'll get to that now. But in Revelation 19, verses 19 to 21, the last verse, 19 to 21 of Revelation 19, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sits on the horse, that's Christ, at the beginning of chapter 19, and against his army. Then the beast was captured, with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's exactly what Daniel prophesied. And the rest were killed with a sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. All flesh of birds were filled with their flesh. Of course, that is the battle of Armageddon, leading down to the battle of Jehoshaphat, which we read in Joel as well. So the Antichrist, false prophet, and the Gentile armies were dealt with when Christ returns. Now, we're going to look at something, well, not very pleasant here. We're going to see how the Lord puts in the sickle and judge of nations himself as well. Just to mention this, that no unbeliever enters the millennium. They will all be dealt with at the second coming of Christ. Any unbeliever among the nations will be slain. Every unbeliever, before Christ sets up as a millennial reign of peace, every unbeliever will be slain. And they will then eventually face the great white throne at the end of the millennium. That's a sobering thought, I know. But you see, what we have here is the final end. We come about with Christ to reign and rule with him, as Revelation 5:10 speaks to. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, you needn't turn to it, I'll read it, unless you wish to. Isaiah 2 verse 4, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. How true. The judgment of Gentile powers, of course, is mentioned in Psalm 2, which you know. The Lord in heaven laughs at puny man's efforts. I'd like you to turn to, though, in Isaiah chapter 63. I mentioned chapter 2, but in Isaiah 63, please. Isaiah 63. And to read from verses 3 through to 6. Isaiah 63, verses 3 through to 6. This is what the Lord says and what reveals to John in the book of Revelation. Here it is in Isaiah 63, verses 3 to 6. This is the Lord speaking. I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. They were all against him. For I have trodden them in my anger, and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemer has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, that's for Israel, and my own fury has sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. I brought down their strength to the finishing Gentile power of the second coming of the Lord. Now, we read quite a lot of Joel chapter 3. I won't go to it now. But I will ask you to go to Zechariah, last book but one in the Old Testament. Zechariah 14. You know it well, I'm sure. But we just focus on this very quickly, because it is about the second coming of the Lord. Chapter 14 of Zechariah. I took from verse 3. It speaks about the Lord coming in verse 1. Verse 2, I'll gather the nations. He's going to gather against Jerusalem, not to fight Jerusalem, but he's going to fight them, and they do. Gather them together. Verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem in the east. And if you look in verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Sets up his kingdom, you see. Not really king of Israel, but Lord of the nations. And that day shall be the Lord of Zion, and his name of the Jewish Shema. Go down to verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles, celebration of all the believers. The church believing of Israel, Old Testament saints, tribulation martyrs, two witnesses, 144,000, you name it. All believers will be there. A great celebration at the beginning of the millennium, the Feast of Tabernacles. Matthew 25, let's go just a bit further forward into the first gospel, Matthew 25, and just look at, this is here, Matthew 25, 31, 32, Matthew 25, 31, 32, coming of the Son of Man. That's the Jewish phrase for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, and he will sit on the throne of his glory in Jerusalem. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. We'll go down to verse 46. And those who go away, that's the goat nations, those who rebelled against the Lord and Israel, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's a separation of the Lord. Now in Revelation, it speaks about the Lord putting in his sickle, his harvest, his judgment, his vengeance has come. So Revelation again, we're jumping around the scriptures, all right. Good thing to do. Revelation 14. You get a fairly complete picture here. Revelation 14. Look at verses 14 to 20. Revelation 14, 14 to 20. I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. Think of Matthew 25. Having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him. We sat on the cloud. Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time is come. Time has come for you to reap. The harvest of the earth is ripe. So he sat on the cloud, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar with power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him, and he had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are full of ripe. Remember Isaiah 63. So the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, gather the vine of the earth, threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, outside Jerusalem. Blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles, 1,600, stretching really way beyond north to south of Israel. Of the end of the nations. Not one unbeliever enters the millennium. What drastic change. What remarkable change. You know, the judgments in the book of Revelation, the seals, the trumpets, and the bows, you know, they're there. There's a judgment from religious Babylon, the harlot. There's judgment from the political Babylon, Revelation 16 and 18 and 1 and 2. So the times of the Gentiles has been defined by the Lord, as we read Luke 21, verse 24 at the beginning, that the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled eventually. It ends at the second coming of the Lord. All Gentile hostility against God will cease. There's a lot of that growing today, isn't there? And against Christ. Those who go out in the open air witness know about that. Some did today. But in Revelation 11:15, I'll just read this and you can turn to it unless you want to, while we're almost there. So go back then to Revelation 11:15. Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. What a change. What a change that really is. Daniel reveals God is on the throne. We know the Lord is on the throne. That's what he's gone back to. In Romans 13:1 it says, there's no power but of God, and he, as the Most High God, rules. Yes, he's over all. Whatever happening, he's overall sovereign. He's overall sovereign in all things. God put Nebuchadnezzar into power, and then he broke him down. And he became a wild animal for 7 years. That is a known medical problem. It's called boanthropy. The last known case of that was in 1947. So the Great Tribulation itself, we're reading about this, and the end of Gentile power in the book of Revelation. He removed kings, sets them up. He allows Antichrist to come into power. The nations, leaders, those 10 rulers who come into power for a short time, give their allegiance to Antichrist, yes. But the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, says Daniel 4:17. God put Nebuchadnezzar into power, but he broke him down, and he humbled him, of course, as we know. In Daniel 5, we saw God's sovereignty expressed in Belshazzar, the handwriting on the wall. Your days are numbered, and you're finished. Neither persons came in, didn't they? In recent history, even going back to Napoleon, he wanted to gain world power. The Kaiser of Germany in World War I, the Hitler in World War II wanted to gain world power. Even Stalin made some attempt to it in the Soviet Union. But Russia and her allies will eventually be destroyed, as we have it in Ezekiel 38-39. The Antichrist will be permitted for a very short period to gain world power and supremacy. Christ will come, and you know where the Antichrist and the false prophet Enoch. All ungodly, rebellious Gentile nations will be judged by the Lord and put to death. They face the great white throne eventually at the end of the millennium. Many references we can look at there. Christ will come as the stone of judgment and crush all Gentile powers that rebel against him. Now he's destroyed with great power in the past, hasn't he? Destroyed and confused the Tower of Babel. Noah and his family were saved at the flood, only eight. And even God regretted that he made man, it says that in Genesis. Lot was spared judgment. We wonder how, but he did. And the angels dragged him back, and only then Babylon, spiritually, commercially, politically, will be destroyed. All the other empires are being destroyed. Armageddon's coming, we know. At the end of the Great Tribulation, Christ returns, stands on the Mount of Olives. He will rule as King of Israel. His thousand-year government, peace and righteousness and justice and equity. F.B. Meyer, one of the founders of the, is now the prophetic witness movement, said this in 1917, when General Allenby captured Jerusalem, before that Beersheba. He said this in 1917, looking at the scene of what was happening then. The signs of the times point towards the close of the times of the Gentiles, his own words. The return of Jesus Christ for the true church can be expected at any moment. And look how long ago that was. 1917, how much nearer now is the Lord coming for his church? The signs of the times point towards the close of the times of the Gentiles. You could say that again. Times around us are signs, in a sense, coming to an end of Gentile power, and the Lord will come.